was a new country, a new type of government, and we hoped that we got it off to a good start.
Hearing from locals who helped Peace Corps make it to 50 years, it's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. A break-in at the Chilkat Center for the Arts in Haines earlier this week is still under investigation, but the circumstances around the incident have law enforcement officers wondering if perhaps the offender was seeking shelter at the time. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe says they don't know the reason behind the break-in and are still looking into the case.
We had a report that there was a possible break-in at the Chilkat Center, and an officer went and investigated and just looked at all the entrances and exits to the building and dusted some areas for fingerprints. It was later determined that there was some property missing. I think it was a robe that's used in one of the church activities there.
Chief Lowe says if people are seeking shelter in any of the Northern Panhandle's communities, they should contact their local ministerial service or police department for options. Peace Corps is a legacy of President John F. Kennedy, who told the first class of volunteers on the South Lawn of the White House that America's reputation in the countries they were going to would depend to a large extent on them. That form of foreign policy has been far-reaching now that more than 200,000 volunteers have come back to the states with Peace Corps experiences from all over the planet over the past 50 years. Among those hundreds of thousands commemorating the Peace Corps' 50th anniversary this week are a handful of Northern Lynn Canal residents who shared their memories from their volunteer service with the Peace Corps.
Russ Bowman in the Solomon Islands from 1981 to 83, community development. I think I took a lot more home with me than I left, as far as how to deal with life and deal with people, that, you know, things don't need to get done oftentimes right away, and there's time to think about stuff, which goes against our lifestyle in this country. We kind of get sucked into having to make a decision right away, and maybe you don't have to. And that's something I think that I learned as a much younger man than I am now.
My name is Mardell Gunn, and I was in Jamaica in 1980 to 82, and so I worked in community development, and I worked on everything from setting up a health clinic to trying to get a telephone booth in the community to working with the elderly people. You know, I was coming from a small town in the Midwest and had very little exposure to diversity, and so, you know, I took many things away, but one of the things that I took away was that there are different ways of doing things in this world, and none of them are right or wrong in terms of the foods we choose to eat, the way we seem to think about things, and it opened up a whole new world to me that other people, they were all humans, and we all have some commonalities, but we also are very different in how we do things, and that's okay.
This is Bruce Gilbert, and I served in the Peace Corps in 1961 to 63, and I might be one of the first ones to come from Alaska into the Peace Corps. I taught in secondary school in Waterloo, Sierra Leone. It was a new country, a new type of government, and we hoped that we got it off to a good start. However, as you've been following the news on Sierra Leone and Liberia area, why, you know the troubles that they've had. Certainly a lasting impression for most of us must be that we certainly appreciate what we have here in America, and you don't have to go very far before you realize just how fortunate you are to be an American, and to, in the 60s anyway, we were pretty respected.
Anne-Marie Palmieri, and I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the Comoros Islands, which is off the coast of Madagascar, from 1991 to 92. And I was working in environmental education. And what really struck me about the Comoros is just the level of need there that I had just never seen in any other country. But the Comoros, it's known for vanilla and ylang-ylang, which goes into perfume and cloves, and so I had this little motorcycle that I would drive through the mountains to visit different schools, and so when the ylang-ylang flowers or the vanilla flowers or the cloves were, when it was that season that they would be opening, I would be driving through, you know, on these dirt roads, and you would just go through these areas, and that would be all you could smell would be cloves or vanilla. The smells were just absolutely amazing.
Burl Sheldon, I was a volunteer in the Federated States of Micronesia, which is the area of the Western Pacific known as the Carolyn Islands. The largest part of my time there was spent doing a reef ownership survey, identifying which villages controlled which areas of the reef. And television had just come there maybe a year prior to my being there. One of the really stark things that I recalled was the impact that television had on their culture, and the culture there that you would consider traditional when I was there was still really alive, but there was really some striking changes that were Western influences coming in.
I'm Yolanta Ryan, and I served in Mali, West Africa. I was a natural resources management agent, and we worked with the local communities on reforestation. We helped them set up tree nurseries and plant trees, and worked on an Earth Day and radio shows on environmental issues and sanitation issues. And then I started working at the clinic, local clinic. One memory I have is sitting around a fire in the evenings, watching the stars and hearing the drums all around. And it was just a very small fire because there's just not many trees where I worked and lived. And so just a few twigs, and we always sat around after dinner. And you could hear the drums in other villages as well. That was kind of the neat thing, I think. What stuck with me is a lot of diseases I caught there. Well, I ended up having hepatitis and parasites and Giardia and bacterial infections. Yeah, that's so fun.
My name is Pam Randles, and I served as an education volunteer originally in Nepal between 1992 and 1994. After that, I was a Peace Corps trainer in Nepal and three Central Asian countries, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and the Kyrgyz Republic. I was thinking about it recently, and I think the thing I'm proudest of in terms of achievements was my students wrote a book in English about what their village is like, and we sold it to the Americans at Christmas time, and that started us with a lending library, and they had never had a lending library before. The other thing was I spoke to a teacher and said, "What would you like? I'm here as a science consultant," and she got all up on her hind legs, and she said, "Well, I have to teach about microscopes and microscopic organisms, and I've never even seen one, so what I want is a microscope." So two of us volunteers got together and built a projecting microscope for her to use in the school, and it actually worked, and it was a huge hit, and such a cool thing, and it was the coolest part was that it worked.
My name is Joan Snyder, and I went into the Peace Corps, landed in Afghanistan in October of 64, and I left there in June of 66. I was already a registered nurse, and I was with a group of nurses within our Peace Corps group, and working at a hospital there in Kabul, Afghanistan. But the practices weren't as we would like to see them, and this was a maternity hospital. And the thing I really took away from that experience was the difference of cultures. The difference of cultures and religions and the impact religion has on these cultures or cultures on religion and whatever. So I think we have to think twice about going anywhere or blaming people or judging people by our standards.
Those words from past Peace Corps volunteers now living in the Northern Panhandle. One of them, Pam Randles, is compiling a list of Northern Lynn Canal residents who spent time with Peace Corps. If you did and you aren't already on the list, call her at 766-3664. The Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines is noting the Peace Corps' 50th year with a special exhibit that runs through March 9th. It shows off some of the mementos brought back by local Peace Corps volunteers, including photos, bows and arrows, clothing, utensils, and the book that the Nepali kids wrote, and the microscope that Pam Randles made there. A gathering at the Sheldon Museum on Friday at noon will have 7 former volunteers presenting a picture slideshow about their volunteer time with Peace Corps. The public is invited to attend. It's nearing the moment when we find out whether or not Haynes and Skagway will be contenders for their 2011 state titles in basketball. As of Thursday evening, all teams still had a chance to advance to state. Haynes boys lost to Petersburg Vikings Thursday morning 57-70, pushing them to the loser's bracket, where they'll wait to play either Mount Edgecombe or Craig on Friday afternoon. Wrangell also sits in the loser's bracket after losing to Craig on Wednesday. Haynes girls take on Craig Panthers Thursday night after beating Metlakatla 50-33 Wednesday morning. As of Thursday afternoon, Petersburg and Sitka girls were still in the winner's bracket after beating Wrangell and Mount Edgecombe in earlier games. In the 3A girls' loser's bracket is Wrangell, which beat Mount Edgecombe Thursday morning by 1 point, and Metlakatla. Skagway boys play Thorn Bay Wolverines at 11 a.m. Friday after winning against Cake on Thursday morning. Skagway girls, reigning state champions, went into the 2A tournament as number one seed. They defended their reputation, winning their first game in regionals against Thorn Bay 57-4, advancing them to a game against either Yakutat Eagles or Kloak Chieftains in the championship round on Friday. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS.